They are savvy, savvy little beasts, and they're savages, and they own the city right now. But yeah. I don't think that's my problem out here. Anyway, definitely not the problem for Ryan Harris, who's on hold listening to us, you know, bark away about our issues in Toronto when he's got a Game 7 to tee up tonight. Nuggets taking on the Clippers down in the bubble. The Broncos, they had opportunities last night. I don't think they were the better team. I think Tennessee outperformed them. But Goskowski almost handed it to them, and the Broncos couldn't find a way to get a win. So we head to Denver now and catch up with former NFLer, and he's now a radio host on Altitude Sports. Back on Overdrive, here's Ryan Harris. What's the mood like in Denver for the Nuggets game tonight, Ryan?
Hey, well, the Nuggets game, Game 7, I mean, we feel like we're a city that can't be beat. It's their second Game 7 in a row. They're 5-1 in elimination games this year. So it's one of those things where it's going to be a blast. And I've been able to set up a nice menu for sports viewing for 2 days in a row. Went with the dry rub wings yesterday and some barbecue. I'm thinking about some pizza or Chinese food today, boys. So I'll try and figure that one out before the tip-off here.
Yeah, you can't make that call like once the game started. Yeah, you got to do both, and then you just figure it out as you go. But you got to make the call before the game tips off.
See, that's why I love you Canadians. Why not both? I didn't even think of that, man. That's awesome.
Yep, that's how we do it up here.
I'm not sure about, what is it, the dry wings? I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, you know, I've actually gotten a lot away from meat a lot going plant-based, but something about nice, dry, spicy. Come on, man. It's Game 7 style.
Yeah. Well, what about Jamal Murray? I mean, he's our guy. He was, you know, he grew up in Kitchener, Ontario, which is about 45 minutes outside of Toronto, and he's might be the best Canadian playing right now. He probably is, like certainly right now in terms of the games that are currently ongoing, but I'm talking about in the NBA in general. What's the love like for Jamal Murray in Denver?
You know, it's so fun because, you know, Nikola Jokic is no question a once-in-a-lifetime type of player, but Jamal Murray is the most important player to the Nuggets. As he goes, the Nuggets go. He plays with so much energy and passion, and one thing that really hasn't been talked about a lot, he's been injured really the whole series, first with the quad injury that he got in the series before against Utah, and then he was able to battle through and then has had some bumps and bruises the last six games, but he has powered through. And, guys, tonight I think he's going for over 20 points, and he can really tip the scales in Denver's favor. But, you know, they're going to go against a very veteran squad who's built for this moment, and one of the things is tonight's game is going to be extremely physical. That's where Jamal Murray has struggled in the past. But one thing we've been enjoying watching is how Jamal Murray answers and goes beyond the challenge each and every time the Nuggets find themselves in a situation like tonight.
We're chatting with Ryan Harris, sports radio host down in Denver, former NFLer. So that confidence level you have, I totally get it with the basketball team. I got to believe it's lacking a little bit with the football team, not necessarily based on what happened last night with the Broncos, but who you share a division with. Right, like you're walking into it, you know Mahomes and the Chiefs are winning the division. Like, does that just go without saying? And you guys are chasing a wild card spot out there, or what?
Yeah, and strangely, the Broncos didn't seem to know the arms race they were in the AFC West, let alone the NFL. I mean, to lose last night's game, scoring only 14 points, is absolutely atrocious. I mean, the Las Vegas Raiders 34 points. You know, every other team in the division is playing like a real football team, and the most troubling part about yesterday's game is this loss is on Vic Fangio. I mean, you have a young quarterback with a young offense that's missing its best player in Cortland Sutton. You finally get down to the red zone, and after three tries on the one-yard line, you're not able to get it in. He went for it on fourth down. Conventional wisdom, and I'll change that, championship wisdom is to always take the points in the first quarter. He doesn't do so and ends up losing the game by two. He goes for fourth down, and he ends up getting stuffed. And now the Broncos are losing their first game by two, and they could have had a field goal and won this game by one no matter what. So he really failed to put the pressure on Tennessee. He even said about taking timeouts late in the game, that's totally my fault. And those kinds of things can't happen when you have a young team who's not going to be scoring many points, as we saw yesterday, who has a chance to win a game somehow, you know, 16-14.
With Ryan Harris, former NFLer and radio host down in Denver. What about on the flip side last night? We talked a lot about this in the 4 p.m. hour. Steven Goskowski, who has had a great career in New England, but that's his first impression in Tennessee. He misses three field goals. He misses an extra point. He ends up chipping in the winner, so I guess technically he did supply something to that W last night. But take us inside the locker room, on the plane going back to Nashville. If you're on his team, what kind of interaction is going on between you and the new kicker who looks like he really doesn't know what he's doing right now?
Yeah, well, all is forgiven when you hit a game winner. I mean, that's just, you know, it's like the shooter in basketball who hasn't made a shot all game but nails a three-pointer for the lead. And what people forget about Gostkowski is he actually struggled at in Denver when we won Super Bowl 50. He actually missed an extra point in the first quarter. And that was a big reason why we won that game, because later at the end, with time expired, the New England Patriots had to go for two because of that kick. So no doubt he was battling some demons of his past, and he has had a hip surgery. So he comes in last night to a hostile environment, even without fans. An environment that haunts his memories, and he's not 100% healthy, and he goes and he has a tough day. One of the kicks was blocked, but missing two field goals, you know, that's unacceptable for a player who was named to the All-Decade team.
Well, another guy who was on that list, I believe, was Tom Brady, his former teammate in New England, and Tom did not have a very good time in New Orleans over the weekend, and he's thrown a pick six in three consecutive games. And he's got Carolina at home this week. They're big favorites. They should win that game. But what happens, what are we talking about on Monday throughout the NFL world, if Brady throws another couple picks, very mediocre, and somehow Carolina beats Tampa on Sunday?
Well, whatever we say, we better be careful, because we're saying the same thing about our uncles and sometimes grandparents, right? I mean, he's 41 years old, and you look at him and Phillip Rivers, you know, there has been a decline. There's no question about that. Now, would I rather have Tom Brady in any game, in any situation? Absolutely. Did their defense fail? Absolutely. Did they go against what I believe is going to be the Super Bowl champion team in the New Orleans Saints? Yes. I mean, the Saints are built to win now, this year. And even Drew Brees said, there's only one goal this year. We're coming for the championship. And that's a very different team than adding Rob Gronkowski, who, oh, by the way, played his first game in 2 years. Trying to work with a new team. I love the initial drive. It was still really cool, guys, to see Tom Brady in a different jersey, wasn't it? It was
strange, but
awesome, you know?
Yeah.
So those things all happen. And I know from playing in the NFL, you really don't know who a team is or what they're capable of until week 5, 6 of the NFL season. So you got to get through, try and get 2 to 3 wins in the first 4 games, but you're still figuring out how each other plays, how people respond. And I can tell you from playing with Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger, other players have to do a lot of adjusting, one to the expectations, but also the pace and urgency that the greats play with. It's not just, hey, we got a first down. I remember Peyton Manning was very upset after a first down. Like, hey, man, what happened? We just got the first down. He's like, we could have got 5 more yards. I'm like, 5 more yards? What the? But that's where they operate, right? And if you're not used to that, you have some adjustments to make, and those adjustments are taking place in Tampa this week.
You just mentioned Brees. He is one guy. Doesn't he look like he can play for legit and be great for 5 more years? Every time I watch him, there's just doesn't seem to be a decline with that guy.
You know, what I see is a guy who's working so hard to make sure there's not a decline. And I see Drew Brees as probably one of the last quarterbacks that we'll see as a Hall of Fame quarterback who isn't going to stretch a couple of years out more. You know, I mean, he badly needs that, though, that second championship, because everybody else around him has one. I mean, you think about it, he's got as many Super Bowl championships as Joe Flacco right now. That's awful for a Hall of Fame quarterback, especially when you look at what Tom Brady's done, Ben Roethlisberger, even Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, right? I mean, you don't want to be the guy in the Hall of Fame jacket with only one ring, and you stand next to Eli Manning, and he says, oh, that's nice, man. You wish you could have got another one, you know? So those kinds of things matter, and Drew Brees has played like he's focused on that his entire offseason.
Great stuff as always, Ryan. Good luck tonight, man. It's going to be a fun game, fun evening, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thanks, fellas. Go Nuggets. Peace.
Yes, go Nuggets. I'm on the Nuggets tonight, too. I love them. Love them tonight. Denver
Roethlisberger's got 2 rings?
Yeah, and he went to a third Super Bowl, and that was the one where the Packers beat him. But he had 2 early. I think he had 1 in his first full year.
Yeah,
I think Bill Cowher.
One with Jerome Bettis on his team, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
The game was in Detroit.
It was. That was in 06, I want to say. He went to 3 quick, like in his first 5 years in the league, I think. Or 5 years as a starter. 5 or 6 years as a starter. He was there 3 times. But speaking of the Packers, I mean, Rodgers is in that same group. He's only won 1.
Yeah.
He only got 1. And
but he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that's a bit harsh. That was Ryan Harris joining us. Like, you know, Steve Young only had one as a starter. Brett Favre only had one. John Elway got two, but it was right at the end of his career. Didn't have one forever. Marino's got none. You know, there's some great, great quarterbacks who either have one or none. But Breeze only has one. Rodgers only has one. Russell Wilson only has one. So those are the three that are going to the Hall of Fame alongside Tom Brady. And we'll see. I mean, all three teams, I think, are going to be in contention to represent the NFC at the Super Bowl this year.
Well, it's the year of the older quarterback. And then you've got the young bucks coming through, right?
But that's what's so crazy about the situation, Noodles, is you're right, yet this is Patrick Mahomes' league. You know, as much as it's great to see Brady, and the interest level, I think, is higher with Brady and Breeze and Rodgers and Wilson because they've been around for so long. But it's Mahomes, it's Lamar Jackson. Watch out for that Kyler Murray, too, down in Arizona.
Telling you, man.
He's
Jesse
unreal.
Palmer picked him as the MVP. I love the pick.
It's a perfect pick based on what's happened the past 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. With Jackson in his second year, Mahomes in his second year, Murray now in his second year with a weapon like DeAndre Hopkins. What did Hopkins have, like 12 or 13 catches? San Francisco, too. Was incredible. But I saw a stat about Kyler Murray. Let me find it here. It was Daniel Jeremiah, who's a big scout. He's kind of the NFL Network's counter to Al Kiper Jr., Al's brother Kiper Jr., Mel yes. Kiper Jr. And Jeremiah went back and watched that game on Sunday where Arizona went into San Fran and won. Kyler Murray ran the ball 13 times for 91 yards. He either slid, went out of bounds, or scored on 12 of the 13 runs. So in other words, he's not letting himself get hit, which is exactly what you need. Like that has been an issue.
When you're that size.
Exactly. Right? That's what Russell Wilson has perfected too. You can't hit Russ. Mm-hmm. And you can't hit Kyler Murray. And you know, Roethlisberger's the complete opposite. He sits in the pocket and waits for you to hit him almost before he even decides on where he's going to throw the ball.
Wow, but, he's so big.
He's
though.
Massive. Him but and Cam are just
I was just
going to
say, that Cam Newton is such a large man. Mm-hmm. Like he just bullies his way around. And that's a difference. So I think Belichick is going to enjoy that because he can plan his offense around it. He didn't have that with Brady.
It's a totally different landscape now with Cam.
Certain plays you just could not run with Brady.
Right.
Because,
he was slow as maybe in the history of the NFL, honestly. Like, he is one of the slowest quarterbacks ever.
I know. People give him heck. Like, he's not a great runner, correct?
No, he's not. But he's hit 1,000 yards rushing for his career. And I hope so. You've been in the league for 23 years or whatever, 20 years. But remember he did that last year, the year before on Instagram? Like his chase for 1,000 total yards as a quarterback. And it was like a three-yard scramble, and he crossed it. And I think he went back because I think he went for a run and got stopped behind the line, and he actually fell back below 1,000 at one point. But
well, that's funny. But yeah, Cam Newton, it's just different, you know, with New England. Yeah. Like that's where I think
totally
Belichick's going to be able to be creative because he knows he has a different type of weapon back there.
Absolutely.